I'd love to see a show of hands. How many of you, this is your first time here? Oh, wow, we've got a lot of new people here. That is so wonderful. Welcome. Welcome to being part of our sisterhood. And you are part of our family. And if you need anything, you can reach out to any of us as advisors. You can communicate quite a bit through social media. So we're on all the platforms. So send us notes. You can message us. We'd love to help you and be resources in every way. How many of you are currently in the business world? That's where you're working right now? Okay, so quite a few of you. What about in ministry? How many of you? Okay. How many in both are doing both ministry and business world? Okay, that's exciting. And don't you know, too, I mean, you probably all realize if you are working in the business world, you're in ministry, right? God uses you everywhere you go. And so you're doing a lot of work in ministry in the world, just being an example for Jesus and sharing your light in the world. So today we're going to talk about how to reinvent your career. And this is 2022, so it's entirely different landscape. So I'm going to move pretty fast. I've got a PowerPoint. My technology wasn't quite working today with the Wi-Fi. So I'm going to be raising my arm, so I hope it's not distracting. But she's going to be forwarding the slides as we move along here. But I'm going to just do a brief intro. We're going to just share a few Bible verses that I feel like the Lord has really downloaded to me to share with you today. So I've been praying about this for over a year since I've known about this presentation. And as we just kind of get in the right frame, you know, the Lord is the one who's the author and finisher of our lives. And so we need to align with Him for us to really make decisions on where we want to be and how we want to use our gifts and talents. So you can see just a little bit my background. I've been in the Twin Cities area for a little over 30 years. And I moved here from North Dakota. So I'm from a smaller town, Bismarck. And then I went to college in Grand Forks and moved here. So started out at Target Corporation. Thomson Reuters is where I worked inside a large corporation. There's 55,000 employees, and I was the talent acquisition manager there. And if all of you recall in 2009, it seemed like 2008, 2009, when so many people got laid off. That's when the whole economy crashed. And it was the first time in my career that my job was impacted. And so at that point is when I needed to reinvent my career. And there, no one was hiring recruiters, right? They were laying people off. And so I had felt the Lord kind of calling me, even back in college, giving me a dream that someday I wanted to be a business owner. And so that's where I took that leap. And a lot of people discouraged me and said, well, half the businesses close the first year you open. And a lot of people who are really wonderful Christian, very, you know, trying to give me good advice. And but listen to the Lord. Like other people might try to speak into your life, but always listen to however the Lord is directing you and calling you. And I'm so glad that I didn't listen and I just stepped out in faith. So sometimes we need to do that. For the next slide, I just put up this funny slide. You've probably seen it on social media. It's kind of the misperceptions about what recruiters do and the whole field of recruiting. So, you know, your friends think it's kind of just a big party because you're going to all these conferences and networking events. It says what my mom thinks I do, just put up a help wanted sign or post it. You know, the beach picture, there are some people who did that, especially during COVID, right? You can work from anywhere. It's virtually. And the bottom left one, what applicants think I do. Actually, all recruiters look at your social media, just so you know. When you apply for jobs, one of the first things they do is Google your name. And they will look at how you present yourself on all your platforms, not just LinkedIn. They're looking at your Facebook, your Twitter. So if you have a lot of negative things on there, it could prevent you from getting a job. The one in the middle where it says, this is what I think I do, that's only on the days where placements all come together. Because it is really hard to fill a lot of the positions that clients give me that are very specific requirements. I started a company that specializes in human resources and sales. And some of my clients have been a little bit insulated and not really in the market to see that is really an employer or employee market, not employer. And so they're making it still very difficult to find the right thing. So I feel like I have superpowers on those days, and I'm doing cartwheels in my mind when I place people. And what I actually do is finding the needle in the haystack. And so just a quick snapshot of my life. I've got a blended family now. So my husband's on the upper left, Jim. It'll be 10 years this year that we've been married. And then my son is in the middle on the top there. Bridger is turning 28 in a couple weeks. Ashley just got married on the right. She's my bonus daughter. And Amanda's on the bottom left. She is 29, and she had her first baby a year ago. And so that's baby Quinn in the middle, and she was not old enough to walk at that point. This was taken in October, but she's running around everywhere now, and the bottom right is with my twin sister. So I have an identical twin. She lives in Florida now, and I put her on the slide because I'm going to refer to her later in my presentation. Okay, next slide. So let's get started on reinventing your career, and I always think it's great at the very beginning of the year to kind of reflect back. We're still in the beginning of the year, 2022. I feel like I didn't meet all my goals last month. I'm just doing a reset this month. But I like to reflect back of, like, how far has God brought me professionally, and how far has God brought me spiritually? And just taking a look at, like, what does my life look like, and what are all the steps and things that the Lord has used as stepping stones along the way. So the next slide, I just have a quick one about kind of aligning our life. You know, girl, read your Bible. You've probably seen this on social media. You can eat all the kale, buy all the things, lift all the weights, take all the trips, trash all that doesn't spark joy. Wash your face, hustle like mad, but if you don't rest your soul in Jesus, you will never find your peace and purpose. And so I have found throughout my career and many others, I started walking with Jesus when I was 19. And if we truly align to Him, if you are truly in God's Word and trying to do that daily, and listening to Him, not just speaking in prayer, He will direct your path. You will feel a clear direction of what your next is going to be. And speaking of social media, I was just going to say a funny comment that a pastor made. I tend to sometimes spend too much time on social media. I've been tracking that I spend over an hour, sometimes an hour and a half per day. And I love to keep in touch with people. So on two platforms, that takes me about 2.5 hours. And the Southern pastor said, you need to get off Facebook and get your face in the book. I thought that was so good. I'm like, okay, amen to that. I need to do more of that. And so next slide. We're going to talk about using your God-given gifts and talents. So in order to do that, even just reflecting back and then looking forward, like, what are your gifts and talents, and are you actually working in a job that uses those talents? That is there anyone here that wants to share if there is a dream you've had, there is a role that you have always wanted to do and you haven't fulfilled it yet? Does anyone want to just... Is there a couple people? Yes. Okay, couldn't hear. Photography. Awesome. Excellent. Okay. Haven't done it yet. Okay. Anyone else? That's a good one. Yes.
I would love to be the event planner for a nonprofit.
Excellent. Event planner for a nonprofit. You know, I was at the small business table last night. It was so exciting to hear so many different backgrounds and all of these wonderful entrepreneurial ideas that people have had. And most of those are individuals who work for a while, right? You've been out there in the world, you've worked for a little bit, and you can see what you're good at and what you're not good at, and where your dreams and talents and where that takes you. All right, so there's a quote that Barbara Sher had said, not fulfilling your dreams would be a loss to the world, because the world needs everyone's gift, yours and mine. And on the next slide here, I'm going to share just a few Bible verses, and these are ones I feel like the Lord had really downloaded to me when I was preparing for this, is, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's in Jeremiah 1:5. I mean, isn't that amazing? Like, before you were born, like, the Lord was, he can see ahead of us. He is the one who has planted a lot of our desires and dreams in our heart. And so just to know that if you were aligning with him and having him help you and direct you, that was all started before you were born. And, you know, referring back to the slide that had my twin sister, we have exact same DNA. If you're an identical twin, it is one cell that splits, so your DNA is exact. And yet my twin sister and I, we look alike, we sound alike, we laugh the same, but we have very different careers. She's tried doing the recruiting job, said absolutely no. This was nothing for her at all. So our careers and our gifts and talents are somewhat different. And it's so exciting that the Lord had planted that and designed that years before we even came to this earth. And so the next Bible verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you a hope and a future. So we can be confident the Lord has made us, and he's going to complete the work that he has started in us. And I know we're going through some tough times of transition with this whole COVID situation, but he designed us, he planted us in this season. He knew that all of this would happen. And so we are not here by accident. He wants to use you as a leader, and all of us have influence. All of us are leaders. And so this is a time that you were made for. So make the most of it and know that God is going to fulfill the purposes in you and through you. And to encourage others, when you see others' gifts and talents, call it out. Say, you're really good at that. You're excellent. This is your gifting. A lot of people don't see their own gifting. Can anyone else attest to that? Yeah. And then someone will call it out and you're like, really? You think so? It's like sometimes we're a little bit blind. We have a little bit blindness to our own gifting sometimes. Okay, so the next slide is, for you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ to do good works through Jesus, Jesus Christ, which God has prepared you in advance to do. So he does go before us and he directs our paths. He is our good Father who is guiding us the entire way. And so we need to pray times for the Lord to, like, shut doors, just slam them shut if we're not supposed to go through those doors, and open the doors where he wants us to go through. All right, next slide. We are in so much of an achievement culture. Are you feeling that too? It's all about success, achievement. We've kind of come out of this whole concept of what is your job title and how much do you make, which is such a small part of who we really are, right? And if we're growing on a spiritual level, God is so much more concerned about who we're becoming than what our status is. And so we're trying to balance all of that in today's world. And the lower part is actually more of a better measure of what this whole transition is happening in 2022 is, you know, really we need, time for our physical health, our mental health. We need free time, time to do fun things with our family, our friends. I just pulled out an article. Since I'm in the HR field, there is a magazine just called HR Magazine. And they were talking about 70% of people in the global workforce said the last 12 months have been the most stressful time in their life. Can anyone else attest to that? I'd say the last 2 years. And this is by a study done by Oracle Corporation. More than 80% of workers claim that they are stressed. They are harrowing time from working mothers who are trying to fulfill their work obligations, acting as teachers, cooks, house cleaners. Multiple duties have shown that women are carrying the majority of the domestic burden than their male counterparts. So I can feel a little bit of that going on at my house too. And they said 76% of the U.S. is currently experiencing worker burnout. That's high, 76%. 33% say that political issues have contributed to their burnout. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's on social media, it's everywhere. 57% say worries about COVID have been contributing to their factor. So that's over 50%. I do know that they did survey during COVID. 70% of employees said they don't want to be mandated to stay home. They'd like to be in the office, but not full-time. They'd like to have like a hybrid model, like maybe work 3 days from home, a day in the office, 2 days in the office, something like that. That tends to be more of the norm, that people do, they need that face-to-face to be really effective, especially if you're in any kind of leadership role. And everyone's kind of zoomed out right now in this economy. It says U.S. workers say the following would help them avoid burnout. 51% said practicing self-care. You know, that's something. Self-care is hard to work in the schedule. I'm really, really bad at that, trying to figure out how to balance work and life and all of the self-care things. 40% say talking with their friends and loved ones would really help them to prevent burnout. I think that even if you're working from home, take time to call like one friend a day. My friend and I started this where we don't take a lot of time, but we just call each other, and it's amazing how that reframes your whole day if you do that sometime early in the morning. 27% limiting exposure to social media. I mean, sometimes, depending on the season, social media can really bring you down. It can get to be kind of a burnout situation, too. So let's jump in. We're going to talk about taking steps. So as we look at, if we're looking at our dreams, our gifts and talents, sometimes making a transition or change can be a huge step, like on the right, or it can be small baby steps. So it depends on if you're working in a company where you're wanting to switch into departments or different positions, that's usually a shorter time frame of making a transition. If you're completely changing jobs, you might be even moving across the country, that could be like a year or two till you actually achieve, or even longer to achieve some of those. So I know everyone in this room is in a different area. You're all in different disciplines, and so this is actually like a whole weekend course, but I'm trying to condense it down to an hour. So I gave everyone a handout too, so I'm going to refer to some of the books and resources coming up here. But on the next slide here, just kind of, we're going to take just a couple minutes here to look at what is the landscape right now. How do things look in the market? And so unemployment, if you look at our rates right now, January is 3.1, 3.9. That is very low. When you're under 5%, means you are employing the unemployable. So 5% of the market is either in a season where they're on a disability or for some reason they're unable to work. So right now there are more jobs than people. So this is an awesome time if you're wanting to make a career change or even starting a new business. These rates are actually lower than even before the pandemic. We were like around 3.6, 3.4, 3.4% in 2019. So the next slide is a little bit about how the landscape looks. It says 2025, it says 97 million. There's actually 120 million jobs right now. So the growing job market, you can see, are a lot focused on technology. And technology has been replacing a lot of jobs that people just don't like to do anymore. You know, they call it AI, so artificial intelligence is part of it, but they're automating so much, and software companies are coming up with forms and auto-populating so that people don't have to sit and type like they used to. Like, how many of you have seen even postings for administrative assistants? Like, that job has almost gone away. Not very often, and not a lot of people like to do those anymore, and that was my first goal when I was in high school. I wanted to be an administrative assistant. I did that job for 2 years, and I actually felt like I wasn't growing, so I went back to college. So I actually didn't graduate from college till I was 28, because I wanted to take time, get out and work, and figure out what I wanted to do. But you can see here which jobs are in demand and which ones are starting to go away. So the next slide are just 10 jobs that didn't even exist 10 years ago. So when you think about some of these, like beach body coach, like what? Right? We see that on social media all the time. I see all my friends posting early in the morning their sweaty pictures, right? They just worked out and no makeup and their stretchy pants on. But they're making money, right? If you get people to sign up and go on journey with you, you can earn money that way. You know, this iOS developers, right, Android developers, we're all on our cell phones all the time. That we're doing so much work, so much of our lives are on our phones. So you look at all of the different positions, data marketing specialists, digital marketing, because so much is going to the web and to our cell phones. So let's take a look at what are the fastest growing jobs in 2022. Now, the first one I'm really hoping drops off the list pretty fast here because we're coming out of a pandemic. And so that, and the range looks really broad. Just so you know, this was a range done by LinkedIn. So the 106,000 is more like, or I'm sorry, 106. Yeah, 1,000, okay. So that's more the coast, East Coast, West Coast. 53,000 is more in the Midwest. So diversity and inclusion manager. That one isn't new, but it's in high demand now. So if a company hadn't hired that, they are now. Marketing managers, machine learning engineers. You can just see all of the different positions. So the next slide. The 10 best remote jobs. People ask all the time, how can I work from home? I love working from home. And especially if you have families and you need flexibility or just enjoy it, here are some of the roles that you can do from home. And what I really love about the market right now that's exciting, you can work virtually anywhere. If you want to look for jobs in Seattle, you can apply for jobs and get hired. If you want to look for jobs in Florida, I have candidates who have strategically taken jobs in other states that they eventually want to move to. And they're working from home, so the company doesn't know, are you sitting in Minnesota? Are you sitting in Florida? Where are you from? Where are you sitting from? So it has really leveled the playing field. And people who live in smaller towns, like I moved out of my small town because there wasn't a lot of job opportunities in Bismarck. But if there had been ability to interface and be able to do, you know, what I had gone to college for and be in business, I would have loved to have done that. So it's really exciting to see that you can apply for a whole lot of jobs that you weren't able to before. And then I highlighted just a few that are in ministry. These are some of the popular roles right now. Some of these are existing roles, but they're in high demand. There is a lot of church growth. I know we hear about some churches closing, but there is high growth still happening and a lot of hiring going on. And women's ministry directors, right? That is becoming very popular and growing in different churches and ministries, pastor of discipleship and community, a lot of community pastors getting hired, missions, so many exciting roles. And then, of course, there's a lot that we haven't mentioned on here that we'll get to is you can create your own, right? You invent your own business, your own service, and you can work in all of these same industries but provide different niche services. So let's jump right in and talk about reinventing your career. So I'm going to highlight on these 5 points a few slides coming up here. So talking about taking assessments. So if you're at a starting point and saying, what are my strengths? What are my talents? and how can I best use those? We're going to kind of talk about that and some technologies that we can use to do that. How to skill up and stay on top of your game, advance and promotion, like where you're at. Preparing for the interview process. This is one that is so critical. And because I have been in this industry so long, you know, it's been over 20 years I've been in recruiting and talent management, is I have interviewed over 20,000 candidates in my career. And the reason I even mention that is I have spoke to, so after every interview, you speak to the hiring manager and the business leaders, and then you help them and listen to them as they make a choice as to which candidate that they hire. So I have heard so much feedback over my entire career, and I have really learned like what really makes a difference when you're in the interview process. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of those things, and then also networking. I'm so glad everyone came. Most everyone was there last night to network. So you were starting to do that already. And networking is something that should be part of your career ongoing, not just when you're looking for work. And also, social media can work for you. So I want to talk a little bit about how you can really make that work in your career. So the next slide is highlighting the StrengthsFinder. Most people have taken that one. That one's been out for quite a while. How many of you have taken the StrengthsFinder? Okay, great. And some of you, do you know what your strengths are? Like, could you rattle them off, your top five? Oh, woo.
Woo, there we go.
Woo, oh, that's a good one. Okay, recruiters have woo. Salespeople, yeah. Do you know any of your other top five? Yeah, it's hard to rattle them off. If it's been a while since you've taken, yeah. So if it's been a while since you've taken the test, instead of retaking the whole long version, you can go out on Cloverleaf. Do you know about the shortcut assessment? It's a free assessment. If you just like Google and put Cloverleaf free assessment, you can do any of these, like the StrengthsFinder, you can do Myers-Briggs, DISC, and even the Enneagram. Now, it'll give you the exact same score that you normally would get. You don't always get the printouts and the emails and everything that takes you on the journey, but if you're just trying to be refreshed, like I did this a couple years ago, and then I did find my notes of when I took the first test, and I came out the same. So my top strengths are strategic, achiever, maximizer, relator, and woo. So here's what's interesting, is there's 34 strengths that all of us have, right? All of us have these strengths, but it's ranking your top five and putting them in a specific order. And they said that only 1 in 278,000 have the exact same top five in the same order. So it is very, very specific. That will really help you. Once you know your strengths and talents, you can, that really helps you to actually formulate and understand a little bit more about your purpose and your true potential. So I highly recommend those. I mentioned a few here, that Living Your Strengths. I've got that listed on your handout. There's a book that will go deep into that. Sometimes the books, there's even the parachute book. Let's see, what's the one? What Color's Your Parachute? Has anyone read that book? That one is so good if you are at a place where it's like, I want to completely do something new and different, and you just get assessed all over again. Like, what are my talents? What are my strengths? And you look at all the different fields, and you take an assessment through that book. And that will really help give you some direction. So you'll want to, once you have identified what you want to work towards, you have to create a plan and stick to it. It's like something that you work on a little bit either each day or each week. And almost anything that we do in life, if we don't dedicate enough time to working towards it, it doesn't happen. So you're going to want to take steps to do that. One of the things I mentioned on here is volunteering your time with charities and also doing contract work. A lot of times, if you're going to make a change, like I know some individuals that want to get into project management or get into technology or digital marketing, something that is completely different from something they've done before. And if you can get some skills, either take a class. A lot of people learn on YouTube. Have you heard this? Like most all my IT people who I've hired over the years, they went to college once, right? It might have been 20 years ago, but how they stay current. They're on YouTube every night learning all the technology and all the new things that are constantly changing. And so you can take classes on YouTube, get a job with a contract service. So there's hundreds and thousands, actually, temporary services. Find your niche. So I'm just using marketing as an example because I interviewed someone recently who's doing this. So now she's going into marketing. So she aligned herself to a marketing contract company. She learned how to do software and do digital marketing by going on YouTube. She worked for a charity. She volunteered her time. She was able to use it and actually set up websites. She was building her resume doing this. She was doing websites and doing social media for an organization. And now she's got this contract. She's working this contract. And if it goes well, they're going to hire her in 3 months. So it is a way for you to basically pivot and find different areas to go into is just start small, either by volunteering your time or actually taking a contract, getting that experience, putting it on your resume, and then you can start to build from there. All right, the next slide, skilling up. So if you are in a role and you're wanting to get promoted or you're wanting to move around within your existing company or other corporations like yours, you need to be doing ongoing learning. I mean, hats off to all of you for being here this weekend. So that tells me you're an ongoing learner. You love to learn, you love to grow, you love to network. That is exactly what you need to stay successful in your career long term, is you need to be ongoing and read a lot of books. In fact, in a lot of interviews, I'll have managers tell me that they'll ask that as a question, what book are you reading right now? And that can stump people like, oh, I don't have time to read. I'm working 60 hours, like what? But no, you should be reading something. If it's not every day, have one close by. Be constantly learning. And if you're in an interview process, you'll be able to say, here's what I'm reading, and I'm reading that because I want to learn this skill a little bit better. So always having your own plan to develop yourself. Don't wait for the company to do that. Online education, you can see a lot of them I've listed here. Side businesses are a great way not only to earn extra revenue, but you can learn new skills. So one of the niche areas I'm in is in sales. So some people who are like, I don't know if I could do that, but I really want to do that. I've always wanted to do that. Start a side hustle. You know, start a little business. Give it a try. A lot of the companies, they don't have quotas. You're not going to get fired. You know, it's just a side business. Test the water. Do you want to sell a product? Do you want to sell a service? Or have you been working long enough that you have abilities to do consulting? I mean, there's a lot of people who find themselves kind of in the 40s, 50s, where they're midway in their career, and they're saying, I don't want to keep doing this. I'm so bored. Well, you can take your expertise and become a consultant and work for a number of different companies as a consultant where you're working, say, with 5 to 10 different clients, helping them move forward in their business. You've got a lot of knowledge you can share. If you're ready to step out and do something like that, there are dozens and hundreds of companies in Minnesota alone that you can align yourself to. And right now, if you look at the job market, they say 30% of the jobs are contract. Contract can mean same as temporary, but many of those are long-term. Contracts are like a year, many times longer. And the projection, and this is how HR is going to this agile model where they're moving people around and companies doing many different projects so people don't get bored and leave, because a lot of people get bored. That's why they leave their jobs and they can't get promoted. So they're trying to create a workforce where they can move people around on projects so they stay, they're engaged, they're excited. But about 50% of the workforce in the next 10 years are all going to be on contract. So that is kind of the way the whole workforce is moving. And so you can use your expertise and you can get paid well for doing what you know. So some of the things on the bottom here, I know they seem very common sense, But I have really seen in my career a lot of people don't share credit for work well done. That's just being a good ethical employee, right? Being a good partner to the people you work with. Be reliable to all your team members. Thank your manager for support and encouragement. Some of these seem so basic, like why would you even list it on here? But not a lot of people do this in the workplace. Workplaces have not become the most healthy places to work. And I think if you just even look at television, the way people treat each other on TV, it's transitioned into the workplace. And it's not always so fun. So be the example. Be the one, you know, we're working for the Lord anyway. We're not working for our boss. We're not trying to just please others. We're trying to take the high road and do the right thing. So the next slide is just showing a little bit about what are the critical skills that you need, especially as we're looking forward to like 2025 coming up. So critical thinking is so important. And that is something that companies, as they're interviewing you, they're assessing what is your critical thinking skills. Analysis, we're all so data-driven. Our whole culture, our business world, we're all on numbers. So be able to be good at analysis, running reports, being able to build a case in your business. Problem solving is so huge. They say it's 95% of all of our jobs. We're solving some kind of a problem for that business, to help a client, whatever your business is, you're solving some type of problem. Self-management. A lot of people have gotten really good at that during COVID, because you don't have a manager over you anymore. So you have to be self-managed. So that's a very good skill to have. And then just active learning. Just keep your ongoing learning. And the next one is that critical part I was talking about, preparing for the interview process. How many of you like interviewing? I mean, it's not really a natural thing that we enjoy. Do you like interviewing? See, some people really enjoy it because you do get to meet other people, and it really truly is a business conversation. But I think preparing for that interview is so critical. I recommend, and I've got it on the sheet that you were handed when you came in, is the Knock 'Em Dead series by Martin Yate. He updates this every other year. And it is the latest, greatest questions that business leaders are asking across all disciplines. And so what I love about this book is not only is it all the questions that you can expect when you're interviewing, but they give the answers like in a concise way so you can formulate and think about your own experience. What could you bring to the table? What experience have you had that you can use as an example? And so you want to be concise. You want to have a lot of data, but not be too long. So it's an excellent book to prep you for all of the key questions. Some of these other books, like Use Your Head to Get Your Foot in the Door, Harvey McKay, he's actually from Minnesota. And so that is an outstanding book. How to Gain the Professional Edge, Susan Morham. I had her speak. I used to be part of this HR association, and I had her speak twice. She's outstanding. And she talks about all those business etiquette things that nobody teaches anymore. And you have no idea how many little things that you do that could either move you closer to getting the hire or actually move you away. And so she covers everything in this book. And I think it's less than $20. You can order it on Amazon. Everything from like we're not doing a lot of handshaking during COVID, but like if you were shaking hands with someone, like what is appropriate? Is it two shakes? Is it three shakes? Like what is it, right? So it's like 2 to 3. You don't want to do 6 or 7. It's like, let go. This is getting awkward, you know? So there's all of these different etiquette things, you know, just how you sit at your desk, how you let's say if you go to a restaurant and the hostess is walking you to the table, because sometimes when you're in the interview process, especially a leadership role, towards the end of the process, they want to take you to lunch. Now they're trying to see what are you like when you kind of let your hair down and you're just kind of being yourself. So they want to see how you treat others. They're going to be rating you how you treat the server, how respectful you are. And are you demanding? Are you sending the food back? It's too cold. It wasn't right. You know, so there's so much that happens in a restaurant that can really tell a lot to a business leader when they're trying to hire you. But in this book, I'm like, I didn't know there was a protocol of how you walk. So like if you're with your potential new leader and the hostess is walking you to your table, you take the farthest seat. There is an actual etiquette. You take the farthest seat so that people, you don't stop here, so everyone has to walk around you. So there is so many little etiquette things, and I know this sounds nitpicky, but you only have one chance, right, to make your first impression, and you wanna nail it. You wanna crush it. And this book will give you that confidence. Like, it'll refine all of those things. I need to read it again. I've gotten a little, like, I'm leaning. I'm not supposed to be leaning if I'm up here. but during COVID, we've gotten a little bit relaxed. But I recommend these books. How You Dress. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. But there was, we had a client in Arizona who was looking for an HR director. And it was a smaller town in Arizona. So there wasn't a lot of talent to begin with that happened to be available and looking for a position at that time. And this woman had a busy life, the candidate, and she had been traveling, and she had just got in town, and she's going to interview the next morning. Well, our client was coming. It was the hospital setting, and she was coming down the staircase to the lobby, and this woman stood out. She was like, oh, my goodness, that woman's jacket is so wrinkled. And so, you know, in the summertime when you wear linen, how sometimes it really wrinkles. Like, you don't want to wear linen in the summer when it's hot. And so this woman was like, she can't be my candidate. Like, no, she must be interviewing for something else. Well, she ends up interviewing this gal, and it was her, the one with the wrinkled jacket. And it's so interesting, as you think, that's so nitpicky. But the gal, during the interview, she said she was listening to her. She loved everything she said. She had the background, the experience. The hiring manager's like, I want to hire her, but oh my goodness, is this how she shows up for work? She couldn't get past it. Like, how did it get that wrinkled? She said it looked like she wadded it up, put it in a suitcase, and sat on it, and then it was like crushed for 2 weeks. And so we're like, wow, hearing this feedback. Well, good thing we knew this manager well enough that she was honest and said, I want to interview, push her to the second interview, but I'm just really having a hard time with the way she presented herself. And she didn't even apologize, like, oh, I didn't have time to steam my jacket. I'm sorry. She never mentioned it. So anyway, because she told us, and there was a good relationship with one of my recruiters who was working for me, she talked to the candidate and said, I just need to be straight with you. And, you know, what did you wear to the interview? So she started with that and then mentioned the jacket. Well, the gal really had crushed in a suitcase, just got done with traveling. So she got her scheduled to the second interview. Of course, she looked perfect for that one. She got the job. But I thought, you know, that might not have happened if Pam didn't have a good relationship with the candidate and with the client. Most companies, they won't even tell you, right? They're like, next, we're going to go move forward to this one. And you never find out, like, what was wrong. But when you have a good relationship, you can, you know, find out those things and coach on those things. But that sounds so trivial, but it can bump you out of, like, your perfect career that you've been working for so long. So the next slide I have is women in business. So I learned a lot of you are already business owners. I learned this last night at the small business table. And I just get so excited. And I hear so many people coming even right out of college. I think with technology now, it is so much easier to start your own business. And if you've got a network of people to start with, like, start earlier than later. It is so exciting to see. I waited way too long when I look back, but, you know, I think that everything that we do in life, God can use it, and they're all stepping stones. But more than 12.3 million firms are owned by women and generating $1.9 trillion in sales. So I know it's even higher than that now. That I really applaud anyone who wants to start their own business. And, you know, we were talking earlier, too, about even starting out consulting. That is being a business owner. So even if you're just your own consultant and you don't even have a team of people working for you, you are in business for yourself. And so I applaud you to do that. There's so many awesome options out there. It'll be 10 years since I started my business in May. And I am so glad I did it. And I don't know if I could have done it 20 years ago because all the technology wasn't available. But a lot of people now are stepping out much sooner because of that. Technology has really leveled the playing field. So networking, we want to talk about really making networking part of your life. So every single discipline area has their own associations. So how many of you are involved in associations right now? That is fabulous. Staying networked in different associations in your field. In fact, many of you will never have to apply for a job. If you are very networked in your associations, people are going to come to you. People will know you. You want to use social media as well, especially LinkedIn. How many of you are on LinkedIn? Okay, so almost all of you. LinkedIn is used by 85% of all recruiters every single day. It is the number one tool. And so if you're not out there, you need to update your LinkedIn profile and connect with me too. Here's something that I do like to offer. So if you are out applying for a job, and again, this is more Minnesota-based. I do have national clients. But if you see that I am connected to someone at that company, so if you and I connect, if you look me up on LinkedIn, Faith Fitzgerald, and I know someone there, I can put in a good word for you. So we can talk, I can learn more about you and put in a good word. Doesn't mean that I get a fee, I won't get the job because they've got it posted. I won't get paid a fee for that. So it's not helping me in my business, but if I can help you get into a role, because many times you apply for a job and they call it the big black hole. It's like you never hear, you don't know what happened. You didn't even get the auto email that said thank you for applying. So that can happen. And so you want to find someone who works there or know someone who works there who can put in a good word. And because I've been in the HR field and I've been calling on companies and clients all across the metro for over 20, almost 30 years, I know a lot of people in places that can put in a word for you. Or say, put this person on the interview list because Faith recommended them. Because I might have done a search for a different department or whatever in the company. So I can help you too. I would love to help in any way. So keep me as a resource too. So I want to keep us on track here. Next slide, it just mentions, I want to just summarize. We talked a little bit. I've got a couple, three slides after this. But we talked a little bit today about what the landscape is right now in our current market. We talked a little bit about what are the steps needed if you're transitioning, whether you're going into a different career, whether you're starting your own business. And I really just want to encourage you to surround yourself with people that really build you up. I'm going to just go to the next slide here quick. That really encourage you to live God's plan for your life. And how many of you have your own little tight circle you can do that with? I think that is so, so key. You need a group of people who can tell you your positives, any negatives that you're open to receiving. That is so critical. I even think about, I heard a pastor speaking recently about even Jesus, right? He had 12 disciples that were his closest friends, but it was his three, Peter, James, and John, that were his closest. Those are the ones that you can really speak to and run things by, and they will help you propel in your career. So the next slide is just, I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust my sails to reach my destination. So we are so much in a season where there is so much happening, right, with COVID and pandemic. We can't control any of that, but we can control ourselves. We can control and make steps towards our own destiny and how God wants to use us. So it's praying over every step. Everything that you do, I just recommend you just pray over it. Like in my business, every time I meet with a client, I either touch the folder that we're going to go over, or I'll tap the screen if we're going to Zoom before the meeting. Pray over everything you're doing. and God will direct you, and he will give you everything you need to be successful. And the last one is here is just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Submit to him. He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So I know our emotions can sometimes lead us astray, but if we can just quiet ourselves and really listen to the Lord when we're doing our quiet time, when we're in the word and in prayer, he will direct us. I have one more quote here. Dr. Dale Turner says, dreams are renewable no matter what our age or condition. They are untapped possibilities within us, a new beauty waiting to be born. So the next slide is just my contact information. Oh, I guess we have to click through a couple more here that have my contact information, but I'd love to take any questions that anybody has. Yes. Yes. And in fact, it is, clients are really, and companies as a whole, are really lessening their requirements. Even if it says you need a degree or you need this or that, not necessarily anymore. They are hiring, so those requirements, I would not even look at that so much as a barrier. What you do need to do, and especially if you're applying online versus talking with someone who can refer you in, it's all about keyword searches, right? So all the platform systems that HR is using now have these keywords. The keywords are all in the job description. So if you want to take and you want to transition, you've got strengths working in your discipline area as a therapist, you can take a lot of those keywords that are on the job description and you weave it into your resume. And so you can highlight all of the same, like all the client facing, all of the different things that you're doing, you can highlight, and you want to bring those up towards the top. So if they have the top five, they're going to list like 20 things they're looking for, and they get so specific. If you can nail the top five or come close, and then take your top five on your resume in your current job or in the top two jobs, you really only need to go back 15 years, by the way, on your resume, because nobody really wants to see beyond that. They say recruiters only spend about, 30 seconds on every resume. And then once they find the resumes they like, that's when they drill down a lot deeper. So you really want to hit it early on and up high on your... Yes. You have to customize. So you'll want to keep your, I would keep your profile, especially, how can I say this? If you have already targeted to leave your industry and the area that you've been working, then you're going to even want to change it on LinkedIn. So you're going to want to bring out whatever area you want to go into and highlight that and bring that to the top. So I always recommend you have a standard resume that you save, and this is your standard. This is what you have done in every company going back 15 years. And then for each job you apply for, you have to customize every single one. So keep a folder, and as you save them, put the title in the company and save each one. And it will open a lot of doors. It's all about your resume in today's world, because that's how they do the word searches on the platform systems. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, I would have your current resume. And a resume is something you're going to want to keep up with all the time. So, in fact, if you're involved in those associations we talked about, list those too. And then any kind of software or technologies, make sure they're at the bottom. But LinkedIn, you're going to want to keep current all the time. And there is, just like Facebook Messenger, LinkedIn has its own messaging. You will have a lot of recruiters and just hiring leaders reach out to you about opportunities. So if you are open, you can even change the status to saying you're open for work. Or if you're not open for work, don't click that. But in your objective on your resume, that's where you can say where you're wanting to go. And then as recruiters and others who are looking on there can help you, or they'll bring opportunities to you through LinkedIn. So try and keep, take a look at it every year. And then, you know, probably every 3 years, I need to update my picture. It's been a while. So, and get a professional picture. You know, some people go to a wedding and they've got wedding hair and lashes and all of that. It's like, you might not get, you know, as many hits on LinkedIn or people wanting to recruit you if you don't look like your natural self. So try and go to and get a professional picture done. I think you can even go to Walmart and get them done for very, very low price, but just get a studio shot. Any other questions? Yes. You know, during the time you were at home, were you involved in any kind of ministry or volunteering at church or anything you can even list there? That's what I recommend people fill in the date so that no one ever questions. Yes. So it doesn't look like there's a gap. And we all have gaps. And there's less question about gaps right now because it is definitely an employee market. And so right now there's a lot of change happening. I know 5 years ago they say, oh, they look like a job hopper. Well, there's been a lot of laying off over the last few years. So nobody even questions, like, why did you make so many changes? Because that has just kind of been what's happening in the economy and in the market. So it's not being questioned as much as it used to be. And hopefully things will stable out here and there won't be so much shifting and changing. I know a lot of jobs that went away aren't coming back because they're replacing them, you know, with more of this artificial intelligence, but there's lots of exciting opportunities. It just means the positions are only getting elevated and more exciting and challenging jobs are coming up. So a lot of more of the manual, more tedious type things are starting to go by the wayside because people get tired of those. They get bored and then leave the company. So any other questions? I saw another hand. Yes. Okay, now I can't give you any tax advice, I'm sorry, you're in the back and I'm up here, so I couldn't quite hear your full question.
I was just wondering why you can't make so much money off
of it. Oh, why you can't make more on Social Security? And, you know, and that again is how they determine over your whole career how much you've paid in and how much your employer paid in and all of those things that they come up with some type of a number. So that one I can't give you advice on. That one's out of my pay grade. Yeah, but there's a lot of financial people and accountants that can help you there. Any other questions? I think we're right at our time here. Oh, one more. Yes. It won't hurt you at all. Yeah, if they don't see you on other platforms, they're fine. It's just if they see something negative. So, and I think in the last couple years, and I tell candidates that right away, like if I'm representing a candidate and I saw something, because I look them up too. If I'm going to meet with someone, I look up their social media and I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. You can't be saying that on, you can't be unfriending all your friends and threatening people out there. And, you know, those are extreme people. But I was going to say it won't hurt you to not be on other platforms. LinkedIn is the key one when it comes to business. And it now, because of the messaging, and they have, you know, a lot of information coming out every day and refreshing, that's an outstanding one to be part of. All right. Oh, one more. Yes. So I work nationally. Most of my companies that are across the U.S. started out in Minnesota, and they just have a national presence. So I have ended up going national. But if you were to look at my client list, I would say 85% of it is in Minnesota. Yeah. So that's where I've spent most of my career. Yes. Well, that is challenging, and I think everyone has a different lens, right? And if you're, and when you have people in leadership that are making decisions on hires, and so some people really embrace Christian faith, and that could be a plus. And they're like, oh, I want this candidate even more. And then if they see that some others who might not be Christian, right, they might see that as something that they would deter or wonder if you're going to bring that into the workforce in a big way. And I think that's it is a difficult balance. I think you have to respect whatever the policies of where you're working, of how much you can share and what you can say. Sometimes you have to just live Jesus, right? And you can't even say anything. There are some work environments that have cut it out that much that you cannot even say anything. And, you know, I'm a business owner, so I can set my own policies. And so I can share a little bit when I'm talking to candidates, and a lot of candidates open up to me. And when they're in job transition, it's a really vulnerable time. Sometimes I've had more men crying in my office than women, like if they've been laid off or something. And so it gives a great opportunity to share faith and to say, I'm going to pray for you and do that. But I think you have to follow the policies. And I think you can be your authentic self on social media. I wouldn't be afraid of that. And God will honor that. And if he wants you to go in a certain job, there isn't anyone who's going to stop you. No one else is going to get that job. He has gone before you and made a way. So I would be your authentic self.